937.
Welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to explain why these things are happening, what it means to those you love. Then, during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His one and only covenant. If you're rational, I promise this will be the best part of today's program. Our number, if you would like to question or criticize, even affirm anything I have to say, is 877-300-7645. Today is the first of 8 days of Sukkah, the wonderful celebration where we experience the culmination of the path that leads to God on Sukkah. We're invited to camp out with God. This is the time that represents us living in God's home, us being part of His family, us enjoying eternity together. It is the time where, literally, we have the opportunity to camp out with the Creator of the universe. This morning, I want to follow up on the conversation that we had at the end of the program yesterday. Peter from Canada had called in and spoke of the horrific treatment that he suffered as a young boy, as he was abused sexually by the Roman Catholic Church. But later in life, when he recognized that the right, honorable, and moral thing to do was to stand up against the church and to hold them accountable, they abused him all over again. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to share with you some comments from an article that appeared about a week or so ago about discoveries in Australia of priestly pedophilia. And then I'm going to share a letter that was written by a good friend of mine to me yesterday after having listened to yesterday's show. First, the news article. Australia's Roman Catholic Church. This is Australia and the land down under. Australia's Roman Catholic Church has confirmed that well over 600 children were sexually abused by priests in the state of Victoria alone. The Archbishop of Melbourne, Dennis Hart, described the figures as horrific and shameful. No. The figures aren't horrific and shameful. You are horrific and shameful. The Roman Catholic Church is horrific and shameful. It's not the figures. It's the attitude. It's the evil core that runs through this disgusting institution. The admission came in a submission to a state parliamentary inquiry into the handling of abuse cases. So this isn't, in fact, I'm not sure there ever has been, a case where the Roman Catholic Church has confessed to their own crime, where the Roman Catholic Church has done the right thing and exposed the pedophiles for the sake of those they have abused. The Roman Catholic Church has routinely striven to cover up their crime, to hide from the truth, to blame the victims. And in this case, it is no different. They were forced to admit that they had done this because of a state investigation. This is not unlike what happened in Northern Ireland, where there were so many reports of abuse that finally the government in Northern Ireland began an investigation, and they found over 30,000 children had been sexually abused by the Roman Catholic Church in Northern Ireland alone. So this admission came after this parliamentary inquiry, but those who are conducting the investigation say that the true figure is not 600 children. It's 10,000 children. 10,000 children in one state of one country, in the Victoria province of Australia. 10,000 victims of Roman Catholicism. When, my friends, is enough enough? When is the world going to rise up and says this evil institution ought not exist? It ought to be banned. The church said that the 620 cases that it is now admitting to went back decades, with the majority taking place between 1960 and throughout the 1980s, with another group of cases still being investigated past that portion of time. In a statement, Archbishop Hart said it is important to be open about the horrific abuse that occurred in Victoria. Yeah, right. While he was a senior official in the Roman Catholic Church, not only was pedophilia practiced routinely by priests, but he covered it up. At the highest echelon of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Ratzinger, he himself, for over a decade, was head of the very agency of the Roman Catholic Church responsible for overseeing priestly behavior and investigating acts of pedophilia. And throughout his entire career, the only letters that can be traced to him advised priests, bishops, and archbishops, and cardinals to cover it up, to deny, to shred the evidence. We look into this inquiry to assist the healing of those who have been abused, to examine the broad context of the church's response, especially over the last 16 years, and to make recommendations to enhance the care for victims and the preventative measures that are now in place. There are none, and they haven't changed. A rotten apple does not all of a sudden become good fruit. Chrissy Foster, whose two daughters both were raped by their parish priest during the 1980s, said that the church had decades to address the issue, but only now revealed the figure to the Victorian inquiry this past week. It has only been victims coming out and going to police that has stopped all of this. The church has never lifted a finger to stop their pedophile priests, said Foster, who said one of her daughters had ultimately taken her own life as a result of the abuse she suffered at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church. The Victorian state government announced the inquiry into the handling of child abuse cases by religious and non-governmental agencies after the suicides of dozens of people who had been abused by the Catholic clergy. Abuse of children by Roman Catholic priests has been a major issue in Australia for recent years, just as it has been in America, in Canada, throughout Europe, throughout South America, Africa, and indeed the entire world. The only common denominator is Roman Catholicism. Their propensity to abuse children and their routine desire to cover up their abuse and to abuse even further their victims. That was the call we got from Peter yesterday. It is the same thing that is happening around the world. The issue that Peter raised of how he himself was abused sexually by the Roman Catholic Church and then later abused by them, by their lawyers, when he tried to hold them accountable for them to admit that they had done wrong. his story isn't one in 100, nor one in 1,000, nor one in 10,000, nor one in 100,000. It's one in millions. This is the letter that I received yesterday from a friend of mine. He wrote, his name is Colin, he wrote, I took the day off work today, so I spent part of my morning listening to the Shattering Myths show. It was of particular interest to me because I am from the same city in Canada as is Peter. I was raised a Ukrainian Catholic, where most priests are actually married. But I was schooled in the Catholic Church system, which, of course, is Roman Catholic. I recall that in elementary and in junior high, at one of the other schools, some of my future high school classmates spoke of being sexually abused by their male teachers. This teacher, one teacher in particular, he wrote, said that he wrote of him that he would befriend the children. These are now elementary and junior high children. That he would befriend them and actually have them sleep over at his house, where he would then abuse them sexually. The parents actually allowed them to go over and spend the night at the priest's home. This caused many psychological issues, particularly since these kids were exposed not only to the abuse, but also the Catholic school board refused to acknowledge the abuse or do anything about it. I suspect that the importance of the church to Catholics may have prevented the parents, who were complicit in their stupidity, for allowing their young sons to go over and sleep at this man's house in the first place. And that may have prevented them from going to the legal authorities, but this is conjecture. Being Ukrainian, I did not attend the same church as most of my classmates, but occasionally I had to endure the services by the Roman Catholic Church. I always felt that the Mass was designed to rob people of independent thought, and it felt like they were being brainwashed. At my regular church, it was less so, only because the sermons were in Ukrainian. But at the Roman Catholic Church, there was a charismatic priest that everyone seemed to be enthralled with. And this is where we will pick up the story after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. We're sharing a letter that was written by a friend of mine after listening to Peter's testimony during our program yesterday. We're fortunate to have Peter back with us today. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Morning. Thank you. Well,
what I would like to do, Peter, is while we're in the mode here, I'd like to continue the very thoughtful letter a friend of mine wrote, affirming really your testimony yesterday. This individual is a physician and has firsthand experience secondhand experience, because he himself was not abused, as were you, but he was very close to those who were. So if I may, let's just continue with his letter, and feel free to jump in at any time, Peter.
Of course. Thank you very much.
He wrote, he says, at the Roman Catholic Church, there was a charismatic priest that everyone seemed to be enthralled with. Everybody except me, that is. He was showered with praise by everyone. But I felt that he was fake and creepy. I had always had a bad feeling about this guy. But the church community itself was shocked when, in the suburbs of Edmonton, they discovered that this priest that they had thought was so wonderful was actually having affairs with many of the women who attended the church. I, however, was only surprised that he was not gay. Later in life, I had a dear friend who was homosexual, who was sexually abused by his uncle for years, starting at age 5. His uncle was a very important member of the community in Yellowknife in the Northwest Territories. In fact, there, as a prominent individual, there are schools and streets named after him, named after a man who was a pedophile, incestuous pedophile. Later on, as an adult, this friend of mine had befriended a Roman Catholic priest. I'm not sure if there was any sexual relationship between the two, but the priest started stalking my gay friend. This stalking included love notes, multiple rambling phone messages, inappropriate gifts. In fact, the priest gave my gay friend his personal chalice, where the Eucharist is made. Ultimately, the priest met with another couple who spoke of my gay friend in a very inappropriate and sexual context. So when my friend was confronted by the couple, who were also Roman Catholic, he showed them the phone messages, the love notes, the chalice, among other proofs, yet they refused to believe my friend, but instead chose to believe the priest who was stalking him. They had spent a lot of time with my friend, but chose to trust the obvious stalker simply because he was a Catholic priest. As a result, my gay friend met with the archbishop, who is now a cardinal, and presented his overwhelming evidence that the priest was stalking him. The archbishop told my friend that the priest was to be confronted and shipped off to Toronto, where he was to do an intervention, and that the priest would never perform the duties of a priest again. Well, just a few weeks later, my friend was attending a Catholic church in the suburbs, the same one where the womanizing priest who I mentioned earlier had abused women in his congregation, and he saw the same stalker priest continuing to perform priestly duties. So he confronted the archbishop again, and the archbishop said, "It's your word against his," and left it at that. Interestingly, my friend felt that the legal system was also stacked against him, and he just gave up. Also interestingly, this gay individual did not leave the Roman Catholic Church. Wow. No matter how much I try to enlighten my mother, who is Roman Catholic, she refuses to listen and remains a Ukrainian Catholic, which would be the Roman Catholic Church. Not the Roman, but the Russian Catholic Church, I'm sorry. The present priest is unmarried, as he was ordained in Canada and was not married before he was ordained, so he cannot get married. My mother, a few short years ago, was catering an event at the church, and I was helping her. When we were sitting at the table at the church kitchen, this same priest came up to our table. He had my arm on the back of a chair when he came up behind me to thank my mother and the rest of the kitchen staff. He stood against me, rubbing, his private parts against my elbow. I gave him sufficient time for him to realize his mistake, looked at him, but he did not move. I then told my mother, and she simply made excuses for him. We're going to return to this letter, and hopefully an ongoing discussion with Peter after the break. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yetta. I would like to continue with the letter that we were discussing before the break. We still have Peter on the line, and we'll be with Peter in just a moment. What I found interesting here is that here you have a Roman Catholic priest that is now sexually assaulting my friend, Colin. I mean, there is no other definition for coming and rubbing your private part on somebody's arm if it isn't sexual abuse. Try that in a business and see if you own that business, if you don't lose it. That's sexual abuse. And yet, what did the mother do? Oh, she defended the abuser. She defended the Roman Catholic priest. That's why religion is such a hellish thing. Because it robs someone of their ability to be rational. Yesterday, I was having a discussion with a good friend. He was talking to his 14-year-old daughter on the telephone. And she was going to walk, it was a 5-minute walk from one school to another to participate in a after-school program. And he was so concerned, you know, about the crazy world we live in, about that 5-minute walk, that he said, told his daughter, you know, I want you to call me before you leave your school, and I want you to call me again 5 minutes later when you get to the other school, just because he was concerned. And yet this same father sent his daughter to the Roman Catholic Church and left her there. Where is his judgment? This letter concludes with, I told my mother that he was a homosexual priest, that he had tried to abuse me, and that he was in the process of purposefully performing a sexual assault on me right in front of her, right in front of her very eyes. Knowing this would be difficult, of course, to prove in court, I let it go. But verbalizing it to those around me was met with apathy, at best, and annoyance towards me. This is the very same experience that Peter endured. As a physician, I deal with people who are bullied at work. In fact, I have two separate patients who have been bullied by the Catholic school board, which seems to operate based upon the theories of Saul and Alinsky and extreme nepotism. In this organization, there is no discernible accountability in how people are treated or mistreated. I prefer not to go into the details, but it all serves to confirm that the Catholic Church is rotten to its core, and it spoils everything in its grasp. Colin. With that letter, and news story, let's turn back to Peter. I understand that you have something else that you would like to share with us this morning, Peter.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Yada. We left yesterday near the end of the program, wrapping up some of my story.
Mm-hmm.
The processes in which I had to take myself through, mostly on my own. But
yes.
I had left them at the point without being able to continue part of that process with you and your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone out there who is or has been a victim of sexual abuse from any level of the Roman Catholic Church, as well as other denominations. I had a conversation yesterday after with a Catholic friend of mine, and of course, when I brought this up, he stalwartly defended the Catholic Church in the tone of his voice. And he's 70 years old, and he's totally indoctrinated.
Yeah,
without any, you know,
most religious people are, Peter. That's the poison of religion, is that if you are overtly religious, evidence and reason do not matter. It does not matter that the Roman Catholic Church has abused 10,000 young boys and girls, raping them, many committing suicide in Victoria, Australia. That information is irrelevant to you. You know, information that proves something is rotten and grotesquely immoral doesn't faze the religious. I can quote testimony directly from Yahweh God's own revelation won't faze the religious individual. So you should not be surprised that the 7-year-old man didn't care, that he was supportive of the pedophiles as opposed to supportive of their victims. Their minds are hopelessly polluted.
Yes, and on that note, when everything had first come out 20-odd years ago, this gentleman was very close to me at that time, and when I had shared with him much of what I was starting to go through, he said very, very smoothly, "Oh, just pray for him."
Pray for the pedophile, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And forgive.
Oh, yes, the pedophile, he needs more victims to abuse. God, could you please arrange more children for this man to abuse?
Yes, and I had said back, I said, it's not that simple.
No, of course not. And by the way, your forgiveness, you and I have absolutely no ability to cause God to forgive the sins in anyone else. And the only way that we ourselves can be absolved of our sins is to embrace the remedy that God has provided. We don't ask a God to absolve us of our sins. We simply embrace the benefits of Pesach and Matzah.
Yes.
And that is the result. And so, rather than us telling God what we want, we simply respond to God and said, we embrace this solution. We observe this solution. We understand this remedy. We accept this remedy. It's not about us asking on our own behalf, and it most certainly isn't about us asking on someone else's behalf. But more important to that, and this may be a point that you were leading up to, unless we're willing to change, unless we're willing to walk away from religious behavior, you know, there is no forgiveness.
Yeah.
There is forgiveness for lots of rotten things that we do. Look at Dode, whom the world knows as David. But there is no forgiveness for sins that are committed under the name of religion, under the name of God. God even says so. That's the third statement he etched in stone.
Yeah.
So to ask God to forgive a crime of this nature perpetrated in the name of God would be to ask God to ignore what he etched in stone, to make himself unreliable by saying, oh, you know, that third statement that I etched on the first of the two tablets, where I'm not going to forgive those who corrupt and lead astray in my name. Let's pretend that I didn't write that.
Yes.
He's never going to forgive them. There's no chance. Why ask God to do something that you know he's opposed to doing?
Yes. Exactly. I had continued to say to this gentleman, it's not that simple. After ruining my whole life, I said there is a process here that has to be followed. Certain protocols that I have to go through and observe and endure. So with that, I had abruptly cut my relationship with him completely.
Mm-hmm. You should.
Because there was no way I could get through to him.
Correct. And that's the nature of this program. We recognize at the outset that those who are overtly religious, there is no way that we nor God himself can reach them. Evidence and reason are useless, and you found that out. There's a lot of people like this old man that you sought to whom from whom you sought support. He represents the majority in our society.
Yes, and on the point of support, when I started going through the process with the family lawyers, et cetera, as well as the other lawyers, I approached my step family and poured out my heart to members of them,
mm-hmm.
and said, "This is what I'm going through." And they had said quite clearly, "We will support you in your, you know, fight. We will support you." Well, I wondered, now what kind of support are you talking about? There's support is an action word.
Right. Yeah, it's like relationship. It's an action word.
Yes. So in which way are you saying that you're going to support me? And for them, it was like someone saying, "I'm sorry, but not doing anything to buttress that statement of 'I'm sorry.'"
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So, no, not okay, but I understand.
But you understand, yes. Yes, okay. So, I never did get much actionable support. As a matter of fact, during the process, my family, my step-family, basically disowned me.
So we're going to return to Peter after the break. Peter is recounting personal experiences at the hands of the most evil institution on planet Earth, the Roman Catholic Church. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We have on the line Peter, who was with us during the second half of our program yesterday. He wanted to share some concluding thoughts on his experience and ultimate success surviving the abuse at the hands of the Roman Catholic Church, not once but twice. Once when he was a young boy and was abused in the Roman Catholic Church, the catacombs of all places, and then again when he tried to hold the church accountable, he was abused by the church's lawyers. So, Peter, please continue.
If I may make one point, as a result of being initially abused, sexually abused,
mm-hmm.
in 1959, when I was 9 years old. One of the horrifying results that come to the surface of my being in my early teenage years was a loss, a struggle of self-identity, which I mean to say, I started struggling with and being somewhat attracted to other males, and that lifestyle, the homosexual lifestyle. As well as at the same time, I would be attracted to women.
Yeah, I think that is somewhat common. I'm not a physician or a psychologist or psychiatrist, as you know, Peter. But this letter from my friend Colin, it had a statement in it that I just removed because I didn't know we were going to go to this place. But his homosexual friend, the dear friend of his, he thinks that incident in his early in his life when his uncle abused him, that led him to that change in identity in terms of personal perspective. And when I was growing up, my very good friend and fraternity brother, recognized later in life, he was married, has a child, and dated when we were in our fraternity, but he was, and shared the story with me how he was sexually abused when he was quite young. And he subsequently attracted to both men and women, but chose to engage in a long-term homosexual relationship. So I think that there is some, let's just leave it as the baggage that is associated with sexual assault, particularly in a religious context, but in any context,
yes,
is horrifying, and its tentacles are far-reaching. And it leaves scars. You're talking about something that happened over 50 years ago, and the scars are still very present. And that's the reason why I routinely say that of all the crimes that someone can commit, the single most horrific physical crime is pedophilia. The single most horrific spiritual crime is religion. But you were the victim of both.
Yes. I just wanted to touch upon that, that it took me at least until I was in my early 30s before I had a full breakdown, where I tried to commit suicide a few times as well. And during that time, I had been going back and forth, you know, in the sexual identity crisis, as well as a self-identity crisis because I was adopted and not having any real family roots. So I was fighting on a number of fronts at the same time. So I'm going to leave it there that for me, and I'll speak only for myself, that is one of the many different manifestations that will erupt in my life. Now, I want to get towards the end here.
We're going to have to deal with the bright ending of the story after the break at the top of the next hour. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths.
Hey, this is Steve Schultz, and you've been hearing top radio personalities talk about longevity and how people are getting healthy and making an income at home. You see, I've built a seven-figure...